take the song sheet that we just used to sing, if you would please for a moment. I just want to show you that sometimes I could be as dumb as rocks. Now smile when I say that. I could be dumb. Okay, let me prove to you why I say that. As I took this, right, and I was standing there, and I'm looking at the sheet, and I try to be obedient as much as I can. So I take this and I say, wait a minute, what are the words I'm supposed to be singing? Because if you look over here, it says, watch your fingering. So I'm thinking, watch your fingering. And I say, wait a minute, that's not the way it goes. So then I said, okay, this it's there for a reason. So then, as I was singing, I kept looking at my fingers because it tells me to do what? Watch my fingers, right? So I'm looking at my fingers and I couldn't do the words. So I said, how can I do both? So then I went like this. And I was able to do both. I'm just kidding. I'm just being silly. It's funny how they put these little notes. That's probably for Ellen, right? Ellen, where are you? You're right there, right? That was for you, right? Watch your fingers. So can you watch your fingers and play looking at this? Sometimes, okay. I don't know. I'm not talented like that, but... Alright, okay, Christmas is coming up in about less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks from today, you would have already opened your gifts. You would have already called your friends because you wouldn't be going to school just yet because you're still on vacation. And you'll be saying, oh, you should see what I got. Oh, it was so cool. You should have seen this. This is awesome. I didn't think I was going to get it, but my parents got it for me. Let me ask you this question. How many of you think that you're going to get more than one gift? Raise your hand. I know I am. You're going to get more than one gift. How many of you think you're going to get more than two gifts? I'm going to keep raising until I think I'm not going to get any more than that. How many of you think you're going to get five gifts? I think I will. Okay. Left hand. Okay. We all know, as Christians, as believers in Christ, we all know the true meaning of Christmas, right? We know that it all has to do with the birth of Jesus Christ. We know that, right? All these gifts that we're going to get, those are like icing on the cake. Those are extras. That's a separate celebration altogether. Okay, so, you know, we know that we're celebrating the birth of Christ and the arrival of the Son of God and God incarnate, as we call it in theological circles. We know all that, and we're thankful to God, and we say, God, thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ. And he was born of a virgin, just like the Bible said, many years before he was even born. In the Old Testament, it said that he, the Savior, would be born of a virgin. So it came true. So we know all that. So then we're going to get all these gifts, and we're going to celebrate with family members and friends. We're going to have a meal. We're going to open presents, my daughters, as every year. How many of you do this? Raise your hand. Be honest. How many of you go to your parents and say, can I open one gift Christmas Eve? Does anybody do that? Nobody? Are you serious? Nobody does that. Well, I got bad kids then, because they're already asking me now. Can we open one on Christmas Eve? We'll think about it. And every year we give in, so we give them one little gift to open the night before Christmas. I don't know why we do that. But, anyway, it's become kind of like that. They already know that we're going to say yes, you know, it happens. But we always give them the least expensive, really, just to pacify them, you know what I mean? But anyway, so, and then you're going to open all those presents and all that kind of stuff. Now, when Jesus Christ was born, now remember this, okay? We hear the actual true birth of Christ in the New Testament, okay? You go to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and we hear the accounts of the birth of Christ. That's what they call the Synoptic Gospels. They're synonymous with the story. That's why they call it Synoptic Gospels. But in the Old Testament, it begins to talk about the birth. And that's what makes this so unique and what makes it so real. Because unlike other religions out there, and I want you to really, really pay attention to this, because you're going to be challenged in your faith as you grow older, as you go off to college, and you find that you find yourself in the minority with respect to your faith. Because if you go to any college campus, unless it's a Christian campus, if it's a secular campus, chances are that your faith is in the minority with respect to the majority of the people that go to school there. But anyway, so you'll be challenged. Well, why do you believe what you believe in? Blah, 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 blah. So you need to pay attention to what I'm going to share with you in a moment here. And that is that this, what makes Christianity so different than the many different religions out there, is that with us, we can take this book we call the Bible, and we can say, look, thousands of years before the birth of Christ, this was said of him. Thousands of years after it was written, this is what happened, and the two match. Do you follow what I'm saying? You see, the two match. And so, unlike other religions that claim to have a leader, okay, and I can name some, Buddha and Muhammad and so on and so forth, you know, that's not the case. Because everything that was written about them was written after their birth. Do you follow what I'm saying? Nothing can be found in all of literature, in all of the universe, that was written about them before their birth. Are you with me? You see what I'm saying? Unlike Christ, we find literature speaking of Christ before his birth. So that in and of itself is substantial evidence that the idea and the concept and the truth of God is real, of Christ rather, is real. You understand that, right? So I say all that to say this, that at the moment of Christ's birth, he gave us seven gifts. Because it's all about at Christmas time, excluding the Christian community. You go out there to Walmart, you go out there to Macy's, you go out there into the world, and to them, it's all about the gifts, right? Are you with me? You understand that concept, right? For us, we know it's Christ, then the gifts. To most people out there, it's the gift, maybe Christ. But what they missed out on is that at the birth of Christ, he brought us seven gifts. And I'm going to share these seven gifts, and I'm going to take you to the Old Testament prior to his birth, how these gifts were announced to us, and at the time of his birth, lo and behold, there are the gifts. And we can unlock every single one of them, as it were, in our minds, in our hearts, and say, if it weren't for Christ's birth, I wouldn't have this gift. Just like we can say, if it wasn't for my mom and dad who got online and ordered me this, I wouldn't have this today. Or if it wasn't for mom and dad who went to the store and bought me this, I wouldn't have this today. So that we can say the same thing within the Christian realm, where we can say, if it had not been for the birth of Christ, I wouldn't have this today. So let me take you to Isaiah. If you have your Bibles, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, a very familiar Christian verse. Okay? A very familiar Christian verse. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to really ask you to go there and follow with me so that you can see this verse. It's just one single verse. That's it. Not very much. 9:6. And every Christmas you find this verse. In fact, songs have been written about this particular verse. Okay? Here you go, buddy. It's right here. Right there. 4. Okay? So you just follow along with us. So, if you go to, you know, go to store and buy a Christmas card, there's a chance that you're going to find a Christmas card with this verse on it. You're going to go different places and this verse is going to appear in particularly during this season of the year. And this is what it says. is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders both, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. That's it. Now, woven in that verse are seven gifts. Now, we've all heard about the seven wonders of the world, right? And every so often, I don't know if it's every 2 or 3 years, or I don't, maybe it's even every 7 years, where those seven wonders of the world change. In fact, just this year, we were given a new list of the seven wonders of the world. One of them happened to be the Great Wall of China. Did you know that? You should know that, right? As the list came out, and some of the ones that were there previously were removed, and then seven more replaced the seven wonders of the world. We hear about the seven churches of Asia Minor in the Bible. We hear about God creating the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. When Noah built the ark, he was not the only one that went into the ark, but seven other people went with him. His wife, three sons, and their wives. So, you know, this idea of seven. So woven within the tapestry of this verse are seven gifts. Seven gifts that God Almighty is saying, look, whenever a person receives Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, they are receiving along with him, with Christ, seven great gifts. And no Christian, in my opinion, and I'm sure others here would agree, in my opinion, no Christian ought to live their lives without these seven gifts. So let me give you gift number one. It says here, for to us a child is what?
Born.
What happens when a child is born? We get a new what? New life. Right?
Yep.
There's a new life. I mean, granted, prior to the birth, there's a life in the womb, because I believe that the baby's alive. So there's life. But we, humans, cannot see the baby with the naked eye until the baby is born. So the moment the baby is born, there's a brand new life that people can see, touch, smell. You follow what I mean? Hug and everything. So there's new life. The moment Christ was born, there was new life given to any person who would call upon his name. Do you believe that? It's very true. Because without Jesus Christ, we have no new life. There's only one life that we have, and that is the one that we were naturally born with. And that naturally born with life, we, without Christ, can make a big, huge mess out of it. So the moment Christ came into the picture, there's brand new life for you. It's like, it would be the same as me going to Stop and Shop and buying some cookies and sodas and all that kind of stuff, like you folks do here when you have refreshments afterwards, and putting them on the counter here and saying, okay, look, after we're done, it's there available for you. So what happens when we're done? We go and we avail ourselves to what's available. You do follow what I'm saying? It's the same thing with Christ. When Christ was born, there's brand new life. That's gift number one. Gift number two, look what it says. To us, a son is given. We have a brand new gift. Because this is what God is saying. Look, the baby Jesus is born. There is a brand new life. And then he says, and you see this life, this brand new life? I want to give this life to you. I want to give it to you. I want to give it to you, and to you, and to you, and to every one of you. But oftentimes, the world out there, we are pretty much, let me not make assumptions here, but rather say that, I would say that most of us, I would guess, it's just a guess, that most of us have already accepted that gift. I don't know for sure, I don't know your heart, but I would say that perhaps, I know I have. So I said to God one day in my life, God, that new life and that new gift that you have made available for me, I want it. Do you see what I'm saying? That's gift number two. Let me give you gift number three, as it's woven within the tapestry of this verse. He says, Isaiah goes on, Now that I am in Christ, there is a different authority, and that is Christ. He has given me brand new authority. He is the one that's saying, okay, Ed, let me put it to you this way. You can go out there and live however you want to live, but you will pay a price. Because you're taking the authority, you're taking matters into your own hands, which is a wrong thing to do. Okay? So this is speaking about the fact that his, you know, all, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And the other thing, this picture, just picture this. Okay, please. Picture someone here, an individual, having something on their shoulder, whatever it is. Say barbell, you know, like lifting weights. I lift weights. Used to. The heaviest thing I lift now is a fork and a spoon. Like, you know, spoon. That's how I balance off my arms. I got muscles and a lot of fat. But anyway, so picture someone here, right, with a big, picture me, right? I know it looks funny, but picture it anyway. Me over here with some, you know, weights, and I'm going to show off, right, pretend I'm strong. Arnold, man, bump you up. No, and I pick up the weight, you know, I get cross that everything, I bring them up, and did you see all the fat jump? Anyway, so then I just hold it right there, right? And then I just put them back here on the back of my shoulders, because I'm going to do one of these, right? So imagine, you know, when the Bible says, and the government will be on his shoulders. So he's right there. And you know what? After a while, those weights on me are going to get heavy. And if I don't have enough strength to do this and bring them to front of me and put them down, there's a good chance that as they're behind my neck, if I get weak, I'm going to have to do one of these and drop them. And they're just going to bounce and make a lot of noise and stuff like that. And what Christ is saying, what Isaiah is saying as he's being led by the Holy Spirit is that the government, all those in authority will be resting on his shoulders because he's the final authority. You see, the weights cannot tell me when I'm weak. They can in a way, but technically, in other words, what I'm saying is that the weights are not going to lift themselves up. I'm going to have to do that. And what the verse is saying is that the government will be on his shoulders. He's the one that is able to take care of the matter. And Christ is the one who would take care of the matter in our lives when things aren't going well. And we turn to him because we have accepted the previous three gifts of Christ. Let me move on to gift number four. Yeah, the previous three. So here's the one. I like this one too. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor. That's gift number four. Wonderful Counselor. Now, do we need counselors? Does society in general need counselors? Yeah. Do Christians need counselors? Yeah, of course. Yeah, we do. To me, it doesn't matter how astute you are when it comes to the Bible. To me, it doesn't matter if you have a PhD in theology. It doesn't matter. The day will come when every man, any man, or any woman with a PhD, even if it's in theology, is going to reach the point in their lives where all this training and all this schooling and all these degrees that they have cannot help them answer maybe a question or resolve a particular problem, because having a PhD doesn't mean that you have all the answers to all the problems in all over the world. It doesn't. So we need counselors, even if it's peers, even if it's one counselor going to another counselor. But we do need counselors. Even Jesus himself said, when I leave, I will send you the comfort of the counselor who will help you, teach you, show you, and guide you. So we need that. And he says here that Jesus Christ himself is the wonderful counselor. That's another gift that we have. And counselors have wisdom. So my gift here, the gift that I see here, is the gift of wisdom. Christ has the gift of wisdom. And the Bible says in James chapter 1, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men freely and liberally. In other words, he doesn't just give you just a little bit of wisdom. He gives you all the wisdom you want. But we have to ask just as gift number one, new life. New gift number two, new authority. Number three, new wisdom. Number four, number five here, what do we have here? Mighty God. That's the new power, the new power in our lives. Because sometimes we're powerless. We're weak. We're powerless and we're weak. Where does my strength come from, the Bible says? It comes from the Lord. Sometimes we're just so weak, mentally, emotionally, physically, you name it, we're weak. In the flesh, we're weak. Jesus said in Matthew 26, this is when he went, before he went to the Garden of, when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, comes back, he sees Peter and the Peter, James, and John sleeping, and he said, couldn't you have waited 1 hour with me while I went to pray? He says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So there comes a time when we are weak in many ways, and what ought we to do when those moments come? Embrace the gift of the power of God. And turn to God, because sometimes we just want signs and wonders. We become scientists sometimes. Show me that you're there. And prove to me that you're real. Show me your existence. And God sits on his throne and says, no, I don't have to prove anything to you. The fact that you're breathing proves that I am God. True? The fact that you're alive proves that I am God. So I'm letting you go through what you're going through for a reason, only known to God. Another gift, the gift of love. Look what it says here. Everlasting Father. Everlasting Father, new love. Let me tell you something, young people. May I have your attention here for a second? Your parents, and in fact, we just read it. This whoever picked the scripture reading for today was really good. It was right on target. Not that it isn't good any other week, but I'm just saying today is so relevant to what I'm saying here, because listen to this. Everlasting Father. There is not a father or a mother or a guardian of any of you right now that doesn't love you with all their heart, that would not go the extra mile to do something special for you, that would not buy you that extra gift, that would not say, you know, what she put down on the list or what he put down on the list is very expensive, but I don't want to disappoint him. You know that Jonah's Brother, It's About Time CD that everybody's looking for, that is costing a lot of money, you know? I see some people laughing here, like, smiling, right? Somebody wants that, huh? It's like, where can we get that? But anyway, or that North Face jacket, or that, you know, and my oldest daughter's like that. You can get me a North Face jacket this Christmas. Hey, you work, buy it. But anyway, so, and I can go on and on and on. But there's not a father or a mother or a guardian to any of you that would not say, you know what, I love him so much, I love her so much, I want to do anything for them to make them happy and put a smile on their face at Christmas time. God said, and we just read it, how is it that you, being, you know, fathers, you know how to give good gifts, how much more I can give better gifts? If your son should ask you for a bread, would you give him a rock? No, you wouldn't. You would give him the bread. So the point here is that the Everlasting Father, what that's telling me is that I have a brand new love. Yeah, I have the love of my mother, and you all have the love of your father and your mother, grandparents and guardians and what have you. But you don't have the love, a greater love than that you have, and that is in the person of Christ. You have the love of the Father through the person of Jesus Christ himself, because when he was born, he brought us the gift of the Father's love to us. Okay, let me give you the last one here, and that is this. Listen to this the following phrase within this verse. Prince of Peace. What's the gift there? The gift is this. New position standing before God in peace. The Prince of Peace. Now, we are not at peace right now around the world. America is not at peace. We're fighting a couple of wars. We've got men and women, soldiers in because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for me, because of Him voluntarily giving His body, shedding His blood, and because I acknowledged that gift, and because I cried out to Christ and said, forgive me of my sins, come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Because I did that, I can stand at peace in Your presence. Even though, please listen, even though after making that initial decision, we sinned. Now, that's not a license to go out there and sin. That's just simply saying that, yes, we made the decision to believe in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, but because we're still fighting this flesh and we're still in this world, and someone would come up to us and say something nasty and mean about us, we tend to get angry and mad or say something that we later regret, and then we confess it to the Father and say, Lord, forgive me for thinking that or saying that or doing this or that and the other. You know, even though we sin, we confess that sin to God and we're fine. We're fine. And we are at peace with God because of that very peace, that gift of peace that Jesus gave us. Now look at this. Look, I want to share one other verse. You don't have to turn to it. Just listen to it. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Look at what it says. It says here, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ, through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what, let me read it again. It says there, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have been justified. Justified is that very moment when we say, yes, Christ died, we believe, we accept that, please forgive me, be my Lord and Savior, come into my life and save me, and boom, there's the lock right there. And the Bible says that nothing in Romans chapter 8, nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. So wherever I go, Christ goes. If I go this way, Christ is with me. If I go this way, Christ is with me. If I go this way, Christ is with me. Because the Bible says in Romans 8, nothing can separate us. Nothing, right there. You follow that? Those are all gifts from God. So, when you open your gifts this Christmas, you unwrap it, and you're thinking about all that, just, you know, this message perhaps might not come, in its entirety might not come back to your mind, but just remember that just as your parents gave you gifts, and friends, and family members, uncles, and aunts, and grandparents, who will give you a gift and say, okay, now open the gift that I gave you, and you're like, tearing that apart, and you're like, oh my goodness, the gift certificate to Hollister. Oh, gift card, can I go shopping? You know, all that kind of stuff, right? You know what I'm talking about? See, I can relate because I have girls your age. But anyway, but it's true. And you're like all excited, and you're like, Mom, tomorrow, can we go take it to the mall? Can we take it to the mall? Oh, please, why? Okay, thank you, Mom. Well, I knew you would do it. But anyway, so when you open those gifts, just remember that God also gave us a gift that very night when the star was shining in the east and the shepherds were in the field and then the three wise men came and brought gifts to the baby Jesus. There's something in it for us, and we ought to be thankful to God for what He has given.